We are within 30 days of Pesach. That is, the Gemara notes in Psachim that a person that leaves his home from Purim and on, and has no intention, even though he has no intention of returning for Pesach, is obligated to Bedikas Chametz. If he leaves his house before Purim and he has no intention of returning for Yontif, then he's exempt from Bedikas Chametz. And the Gemara says, in effect, that the Pesach season starts from 30 days before. And therefore, the Din Bedikas Chametz also starts them. That's the time we're in Pesach mode. So I wanted to take a little bit a look at the Din of Bedikas Chametz. Bedikas Chametz, Bittul Chametz. Chametz is just about unique. There's only one parallel, as we'll see. It's also b'achila, it's also b'hano, and one may not even possess it. Now, the only other place that I'm aware of where we find this type of structure is by Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is also b'hano. And l'sov yisraev al b'secho, you're not allowed to have an Avodah Zarah in your house. Now, it's rather interesting that Chametz parallels Avodah Zarah, because Rameya Simcha writes that based on the Yerushalmi at the very beginning of Masecht Avodah Zarah, the Inyan of Chametz and our separation from Chametz and clinging to Matzah, Chometz, he said, we don't know how exactly, but the way he understands the Rishalmi, Chometz was an integral part of the Avodah of the Avodah Kachavim. And therefore, when the Rabbanu Shalom in effect told us, Mishchu Kulachem, Mishchu, as Rashi says in Bamshat, Mishchu Yideichem in Avodah Zorah, we should separate ourselves from Avodah Zorah. So therefore, part and parcel of that process was to separate ourselves from Chometz, he says. The Rishami doesn't spell out exactly how they celebrated, you know, the Avodah Zarah and what role the Chometz played, but it indicates that the Chometz was an integral part of the worship of the Avodah Zarah. So when the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, in effect, told us, Mishchu Kulachem, segregate ourselves from the Avodah Zarah, so Chometz is part and parcel of that. And we can understand also from that insight we just had in Chumash Vayikra that Chol Sor V'Chol Dvash Lo Saktir Memena Isha L'Hashem, because that's the Derech the Rambam says of the Avodah Zarah. So again, that Tzor Chometz was an integral part of their Avodah. So since the separation from Chometz is a part in the time of the separation from Avodah Zarah, so it's not surprising that it has the same halachas. There's Isra Achila, there's Isra Ano, and there's an Isra of Lo Yirav Lo Yimotzi, that we cannot possess Chometz on Pesach. So those are the parallels that we have. It parallels exactly the halachas of Avodah Zarah. The Torah writes, Tashbisu Sa'or Mibotechem, remove all leavening from your home. But the Torah is not directly specific about what means one should do this. So we'll see the varied interpretations, at least three different interpretations of how to take this pasuk. Maybe two and a half, we might say. The Mishnah at the very beginning of Psachim says, Or la'aba asar b'itkan as ha'chametz l'araner. On the night preceding the 14th of Nisan, we have to search for Chometz L'Or HaNer by the light of a candle. And Rashi writes almost so innocently in the Mishnah, what's Bedikas Chometz about? So we should not come to violate Bayiro Bayimotzi, possessing Chometz on Pesach. So in effect, the Torah told us, go look around your house, find any Chometz that you have and pitch it. So that way you won't own any Chometz on Pesach. So that's what a person had to do. That's what Rashi writes. Tosfos has trouble with this because The Gemara says, "Abaydik, even if you do bedikas chametz, it's tzorach shiyevatel. You still have to do bittel chametz. And if you do bittel chametz, the Gemara says, but bittel ba'al masogi, that suffices to remove the problem of ba'yirah ba'yimotzi. That being the case, so what do I need bedikas chametz for? Since everyone is obligated to do bittel. And bittol will remove the problem by yiro by yimotze. So why should Chazal have further imposed upon me to do bedikas chometz? Why should there be any obligation for bedikas chometz? So Tosfos says that it's not a deraisa dikadin as Rashi learned. It's a din midrabbanon. And furthermore, its function is not by yiro by yimotze, but the function is that we should not come to eat chometz on Pesach. Now, if you just consider for a moment what it would take to fulfill the deraisa dikadin, with the deraisa I can have the most luscious chometz cake on the table. I'll be mevatel it. It's Pesach, I don't want it. And leave it there. And on the other half of the table, I'll put up the matzahs and I'll make the seder. And with the rice, I'm fine. I don't own chametz on Pesach, so I'm a bekayim by your, I fulfill the dinner by your rabbi Yavotzi. So the chametz will be on one end of the table, and I'll have my shmur matzahs on the other end of the table. And with the rice, it's fine. Might be a little bizarre, but fine it is. I'll pidin. It's 100% fine. Taisa says, if we would live like that, what will happen when I come down 5 o'clock in the morning to get a coffee and I'm more asleep than awake and there's a nice piece of cake on the table? I'll be halfway finished consuming the cake before I remember, hey, I just was eating matzah last night. This is Pesach now. This cake is not for now. It's for after Yom Tov. So, our Chazal were concerned, Shemayov l'ochlo, lest we come to eat chametz. And particularly chametz is something that we eat a whole year. Plus, on the days of Pesach, we're allowed to eat. It's not a fast day. So, we may come to violate the Isra Achila. So that is Tosfos' view. The Ran, in his defense of Rashi, wants to tell us that Rashi holds both Bittul and Bedikam with the Raisa. And in effect, it would seem that the Mishnah, the din of Abaydik, Tzorach Sheyivato, is a later din, which did not exist yet in the time when this Mishnah was written. Therefore, this Mishnah says, "Bort kinas achametz and rashi." According to the Mishnah, so we shouldn't violate by yiro by yimotze. And the takana of doing bittul that you have to do bittul is a later takana. That's lachor pashtus in what Rashi's saying. Now, each month, bedika and bittul, neither one of them is a total fix. Right? The halacha clearly states a person that did bittul still has to do bedika, but a person that did bedika's chametz has to do bittul. Bedika's chametz has one major chink. And that is, suppose I go around the house and I search for chametz, and I did a bedika's chametz for 100 hours. Nobody in the last 1,000 years made a bedika's chametz like me. But, alas, I missed a piece of chametz someplace. A nice, delicious piece of chametz. I just missed it. So now I found out that I still have chametz around. We'll come back to this later. But, so bedika is not a foolproof process. They fail. On the other hand, bedika's bittul chametz is foolproof. If I do bittul, that's it. I can have a chasana chala around the house. It's a huge chala. Enough for, 500 people to be over chametz on Pesach. But I won't be over anything. I was mevatel it. It's foolproof. But, on the other hand, it's not exactly foolproof either. If I did bittul, it's foolproof. But who says I'm going to achieve bittul? It's a very interesting Rishalmi, and that will be the entryway to the next part of the shir. Let's say I did bittul chametz, and I did it properly. I know that I did it properly. Listen, I'm a pious Jew. If anyone came and told me, listen, they want to take the chametz away on Pesach, I tell them, kol hakavod, take it. I don't care. It means nothing to me. It's yontif. I don't want to violate yontif. It's garbage. Get rid of it. So I know I personally did a good bittul chametz. Nevertheless, the Shulchan Aruch and Tav Mem Ches quotes are Yerushalmi, that the chametz is osur bano after Pesach. Why? Because Chazal saw that this is a slippery slope. You know, everybody is going to claim that they did bittul chametz. And some people are pious and they truly did bittul chametz, and some people are not so pious. And, you know, I bumped into the fact that I have a $200 bottle of whiskey. And I'm just hoping that nobody finds where I left it before Yontif, because I don't want them to take it away. But yes, yeah, it was mevatelit. But I want to make sure that nobody goes near where it's hidden. So, bittul is a process, since it's a matter of belief. It's not an external, but it's an internal process. Internal processes are very easy to abuse. So therefore, the Rishalmi said, if a person only did bittul, so long. We're not getting involved in each person to try to size him up. How much of a bittul he did? He did a real bittul, a half a bittul, a quarter bittul, no bittul. So bittul is out in terms of it might save me from the Easter by Yerah, by Yomotzi on Pesach, but it would not allow me to escape the knas of after Pesach of being able to eat it after Yontif. So bittul has a major flaw in it. That flaw being that it's easy to do it in a way which is inappropriate. But that really begs the question, what is bittul chametz? What is bittul chametz? It's a very strange term, bittul chametz. Now we have Taisus. We'll start with Taisus, because Taisus is really the easiest of the pshatim. Taisus says the bittul chametz is hefker. Right? The Torah gave him a mechanism to renounce ownership. He renounced the ownership of the chametz, and it's no longer yours. Taisus has a number of problems with his approach. First of all, that there's a din in the Gemara and the Dorah that hefker has to be in front of three people. And here we do bittul chametz on our own. We go in the closet and we do bittul chametz. Then there's a whole question that, according to Rabbi Yossi and the Gemara in the Dorah, is a question, what is hefker? So, hefker, on one hand, we can look at as a kinyan. It's a transference of rishus. But it takes it out of my rishus and sort of puts it into the world of hefker, ownerless. And anybody that wants can come take it from there. But it puts it into a state of being ownerless. So that's a transfer. It transferred out of my rishus to a state of ownerless. Now the question is, Rabbi Yossi says that the osil rishus zoicha, hefker is not fully effective until it arrives at its destination. Which sort of suggests that I somehow still own it. It's waiting for the other person. The other person has the right to take possession of it, but I still own it. So how would that work for bittul chametz? Whatever. So I believe the Tzoyis discusses it, whatever, it's an issue. How it works. I'll call upon him, that's one approach. Now, it has its chinks. It has a major, major chink. Why do we call it bittul? Why is it referred to when Shas as bittul? So it's saying be mafkir chametz, hifkir chametz. What was bittul chametz? It's a very strange, you know. Hefker is a particular process relevant to cross ownership of all items in the whole Shulchan Aruch Choshen Mishpat. And we never call it bittul; we call it hefker. So why all of a sudden when we open up the Gemara and Psochem do we say it's this bittul chametz? What's this bittul business? So the very name itself is problematic according to Tosis' approach. maybe perhaps it's to imply that it has differences from the classical Hefker. So Tosfos said that even though Hefker normally needs three, but here, since it's a question of saving a person from Bayiro, Bayimotz, and Yizuk Me'a Deraisa, we follow the Deraisa, the Kedin, and we allow Hefker to work even if it's done in the absence of witnesses, two or three witnesses. So perhaps that's the answer, perhaps why it's called Bittel too, to tell us that this process is a process that's unique. It wouldn't work anywhere else. It only works by chometz. Maybe that's why it's called Bittel, perhaps. Along comes the Ramban, and as I mentioned earlier, there is a parallel between the laws of Avodah Zarah and the laws of chometz. Now, in the law of Avodah Zarah, there's such a thing as bittel. Meaning, a non-Jew, he has a getchka, he has an idol, and he bows down there that his grandfather did and his great-grandfather did. And tomorrow morning he wakes up, and you know something? It's finished. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's the real deal. So he takes that way the Zohar and he throws it out into the garbage. Ice. So the halacha is that this bittel by Avodah the Zohar. The person decides it's ice Avodah the Zohar. I'm never going to use this again for an Avodah the Zohar. It helps by a guy. It doesn't help any Avodah the Zohar of a yid. But by the Avodah the Zohar of a guy can be mevatel it. But this bittel. Bittel is this. It's ice Avodah the Zohar. It's no longer an Avodah the Zohar. It's nothing. It's a piece of junk. So the Ramban says the same is true of chometz. I have whatever I consider the most luscious piece of mezainis in the world, but I don't want to be over the yisa by yiro by yimotze. So consequently, I'm a vatalit. Being a vatalit means I say it's null and void. It's nothing. It's like dust. There's no chshivas to me. Anyone that wants it, come take it. I don't care. Now, what is it work? Why does it work? So I said it's null and void. Therefore, so the Ramban is rooted in a Gemara. The Gemara is in Baba Kamma, the Gemara is in Psochem too. The Gemara says, Shnei Dvorim Einam Bereshuso Shal Adam, Ba'asoron Akosuf Kilo Heim Bereshuso. Two things I do not own. They're not in my possession, yet the Torah considers them as if I own them and they are in my possession. One of them, a person is mischievous, criminally mischievous. So he decides tonight he's going to put out all the lights on Main Street, lock them all out. Then he's going to come with a digger and loader and dig a huge hole across Main Street. That you can't go down, ride down Main Street and avoid this. And the hole is big enough to swallow up a bus. So along comes a bus down Main Street, plops right inside this huge hole in the ground. And if we have some mazel, the driver survives all of this criminal mischief. But the bus is a churban. So the city comes after him and tells him, listen, it's a $200,000 bus, pay up, you smashed it. So he says, wait a second here. He says, what smashed the bus? The ground that it fell down from the sidewalk into the pit. So the ground smashed it. He says, who owns the ground? I don't own it, so what do you want from me? The city owns it, so you bother yourself. What are you bothering me for? Yet the Torah says, ki yichre ishbor, if you dig a ditch in public property, you're responsible. So I saw a cost of kilohim brishu. So the Torah gives me responsibility tantamount to my owning it and it being in my possession. So I can't escape with that excuse. That's number one. Number two is chometz and Pesach. Chometz is Yisurei Hano. Since it's Yisurei Yisurei Hano, the simple, it's not the only version, but the simple version is that one cannot own Yisurei Hano. It's just, there's no possibility of ownership. Ownership means I have rights in something, to use it, to do something with it. In Surya, I know I have no rights. The Torah took away all my rights. I'm not allowed to benefit from it at all. So how can I claim to own this thing? So I don't own it. So if I don't own it, so then I should not be over by your or by your motzi. I don't own chametz on Pesach. You can't own chametz on Pesach. Try as you might, you can't. If it comes Pesach and it's in your rishus, the Torah says it's also by no longer by, so it's not mine anymore. So how can I violate by your or by your motzi? It's an impossible proposition. So again, Shah says, Aso akos of kilu hebrishusso. The Torah looked upon it as if I own the chametz. In effect, the Torah said, it should be asur b'ano, but if we're going to put it back into your rishus, you're going to be held accountable for it. And that's by your own, by your motzi. So the Ramban says, that only obtains as long as I want the chametz. If I didn't want the chametz before Yontif, so it would go out of my rishus because it's asur b'ano, and now the Torah might want to put it back into my rishus if I really want this, but I don't want this chametz. I said, I don't want it. It's nothing. If I don't want it, the Torah doesn't place it back in my rishus. So mamela, it comes out that I don't violate by your rabbi and motzi. So that's what the bittul does. The bittul says, because of the bittul, the Torah won't put it back in my rishus. Now what happens? Now the Torah says, Tashbisu Sa'om Libotechem. So according to Tosfos, the Tashbisu was Bittul. That's the Tashbisu. The Chayrav. Bidikno is a Din D'Rabbanan. According to the Ran and Rashi, both of them are included in Tashbisu. Tashbisu getting Chometz out, and being Guvatul Chometz. Both are part and parcel of Bidikas Chometz, of Tashbisu Sa'om Ribotecha. Tashbisu Sa'om Ribotecha. But the Torah, according to Tosfos, the Torah never specified Bidika as a means of compliance. So let's ask ourselves the following questions. This guy went, and he spent 100 hours doing Bidikas Chometz. But lo and behold, he missed a piece. So he had a nice Danish left over. Many kazaisim. All he needed is a kazayas for Bayiro. He has many kazaisim. But he did a bidikas chametz. Is he over or not? So according to Rashi, we would clearly say, since bidikas chametz is part of the mitzvah of Tashbisu, and the Torah told me I licensed Tashbisu, and I did Lamrela license Bidika as a kiyum of Tashbisa, and I did Bidika's chametz, and I tried energetically to do it. I did as good a job as I was humanly capable of doing, and human due to human frailty, I was not 100% successful. So according to Rashi, it's clear I would not violate by your by your motzi. The Torah said, do Bidika, clean it out, and I worked like I'm a shugunah to clean it out. I have missed something. Okay, so listen, shkia is miyoven, human beings are not perfect. But how about according to Tosfos? According to Tosfos, there is no deraisadika license for bedikas chametz. But listen, if you don't own chametz on Pesach, so that's it, so you're fine. So I did a very industrious bedikas chametz, so that I shouldn't own chametz on Pesach. But I failed. I didn't succeed. So, can I claim I'm an onus? I tried to get rid of the chametz on Pesach, and I didn't succeed. Or we can tell him, no, you're not an onus. Why? The Torah didn't tell you to do bidikas chametz. The Torah told you to do bittul chametz, to make sure you get rid of the chametz. You went on your own path. So if you succeeded, if you didn't succeed, it's on your head. I didn't tell you to do it. So this seems to be a machlokes in the Rishonim. If you look in the Tosfos or Shimshon Mishans, in the beginning of the Masechta, the beginning of the second parak, this seems to be a machlokes or Rishonim. What the status of Bedika would be according to Tosfos if one failed to follow through and execute fully on the Bedika. Now, the problem with Bidikas Chometz, well, first of all, let's consider one other thing before we go to that. Rabbi Kivayger raises the following problem. Simply what ought to be is the following. If you follow Tosfos' view, you should be able that bittul is hefker, so you should be able to easily have a perfect bittul chometz. Just get up and make an announcement on mafker chometz, and that's it. Irrespective of what I'm thinking or not thinking, because I'll ask you a very simple question. I have a car. You want to buy a car. So, okay, we make a deal. You give me $20,000, I'll give you the car. So you give me the $20,000, I'll give you the car. Then I'll come to Bezin tomorrow. Well, I was thinking that to only give him the car if he hopped around for 3 hours on his left foot. And he didn't hop for 3 hours on his left foot, so I want the car back. Yeah, I'll give him his $20,000 back, but I want the car back. So we have a principle, Dvorim Shebelev Einan Dvorim, that when you enter a business deal, you have to articulate what your conditions are. If you don't articulate them, you could be thinking them, you're most probably thinking them, it's all irrelevant. The deal is that which we made up when we made the deal. That's the deal. Unless there's something we call umdru demuchach, so super obvious that he couldn't have done it otherwise, then that's considered as expressed at the time of the deal, that that's part of the deal. But if it's not super obvious, only relatively obvious, it's not enough. We say dvorim shebelevin and dvorim. The fact that you did not express them, they go down the tubes. And even if we could bring a scope and we could read what was in your heart at that moment, and it wasn't definitely in your heart, you still lose. The Torah places no significance on that type of das. So that should be according to Tosfos. According to Rashi and the Ramban, bittul should be a much more treacherous process. Because bittul is belief. Now it doesn't help me if I say, I'm a vatalit. That's not the essence of bittul. The essence of bittul is the yachas, the association belief that I have with this chometz. So according to the Ramban and Rashi, it's relatively easy to undermine the bedikah. According to the Tosfos pshat, it should be almost impossible to undermine the bedikah. Now, there's, in the Ran, would seem that the Ran wants it both ways. The Ran wants is an allowance that Hefker is the bittul, and the Ran is also concerned that I'll make an inappropriate bittul chometz. So Rabbi Kivayger says he doesn't understand. If we're dealing with Hefker, so whatever he has is belayiv, is whatever he has belayiv is dvorim shebelayiv. So it just shouldn't make a difference. If you held like Tosfos type of, if you held like Rashi's track, yeah, then what's in your lay is very important, because the whole din is belayiv. The whole din has nothing to do with a maisa kinyan, has nothing to do with what you said. It has to do with what is your association with this chometz. You want the chometz or you don't want the chometz. So it doesn't help. I can run around town. I don't want the chometz. But believe me, I want the chometz. You know, if anyone comes down the block too close to where my bottle of whiskey is, you know, I put 5 garbage cans in the way to make sure he doesn't see it. I'm not ready to forego my bottle of whiskey after Yontif. So then there's no bittul. So this Rabbi Kivayger is a famous kasha of Rabbi Kivayger, and he leaves it up in the air, unresolved. Unresolved. Now, the process of bedikas chometz is a difficult process. A difficult process. You know, if you lived in a little country, you know, house, you know, you had a couple of rooms, a few possessed, sparsely furnished. So, bittul chometz in a half an hour, or the bedikas chometz in a half an hour, you could do the whole bedikas chometz. What do you have? A couple of beds, a couple of chairs, a table or two. That's it. Hardly anything there. You go around, not too many shelves, not too many closets. You know, in a half an hour, you're finished, you know. Be hard-pressed probably to spend an hour doing it. Finished with the bittul chometz. But if you live the way we live, Baruch Hashem, in contemporary society, with Baruch Hashem, a lot of rooms and a lot of possessions, and you know, it's not easy to go around and see what's doing under every single piece that you own and behind every piece that you own. So Bedikas Chametz becomes a very daunting challenge. A very daunting challenge. So, how do you fulfill Bedikas Chametz? Now, part of the problem is that you're really not supposed to do Bedikas Chametz before the night of Yudalit, maybe according to some Rishonim, the day of Yud Gimel. But earlier than that, you can't do Bedikas Chametz. So, Mameila, what are we holding? What are we going to do? So there's a Haggadah that has of all the Torahs of Rav Yosef on it. There's a big section of Halacha at the beginning. So he writes the following. It's based really on the Bechacha in the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch. In the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch of the Chidushim of the Goyim Bechach. So he has all types of cheshbonos with places that get chazokas that they don't have chametz in them. So Rabbi Yosef Zatzal wrote the following, that if you have a Jewish kafumt cleaning lady, or you have a goita, and the goita cleans, so if the balabusta goes and checks after her, when she finishes each area of the house, she checks, she sees that it's clean, and she doesn't allow any more chametz to be brought to that part of the house. So he says that part of the house is muchzik, that it doesn't have chametz. It's not mechuyev in bedikas chametz, he says, such a place. As a chazok, it doesn't have chametz. You know, if you did it just with a person that doesn't have nemonis, then it won't help, because you don't know what you're relying on. But even if the person doesn't have nemonis, if the balabusta goes herself to check when they finish each area of the house to see that it's clean, then there's no chiyuv and bedikas chametz in those places. So really what comes out is, according to this, that most of us probably don't even have a din bedikas chametz altogether. Because that's the way we clean nowadays. You know, as long as we just pay attention, the balabusta pays attention to the cleaning, so that's it. The whole house is going to have a chazoka that it doesn't have chametz. So according to that, it would be very interesting. It would come out, what's quoted is a minig in the Ramah, which all the Shita say is not really mitzaradin. Right? The Ramah says we should take 10 pieces of bread and put them out, whatever chametz around the house. Do b'dikas chametz. So in the Ikra, the dinner, there's no need. The dinner of b'dikas chametz is to look for chametz. I don't have to find chametz. No din to find chametz. It's a din to look for chametz. It's a din to determine that there is no chametz here. That's the din of b'dikas chametz. I don't have to find chametz. But some minig that they made, whatever, to put out pieces of chametz, and maybe part of that reason is so that there should be a din of beer chametz part. It's not, you didn't have to put it out for that reason, just would have to save it. But they wanted to save chametz anyhow, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, and beer chametz are the sreifa, so they wanted to burn the chametz. So perhaps that's all part of it. But according to that which Rabbi Yosef Zatzal wrote, so he talking about that you need the 10 pieces of mitzaradin. Otherwise, how can you make a brocha? We don't make a brocha in actuality on the actual beer. For whatever the reasons may be, you know, the Behuda talks about it in the Tzlachim Sochim, why, you know, what happens if a person didn't do Bedikas Chametz and you show up the next day, and I want to do beer chametz. Can you make a brocha on it or not? So it was a machlekes achrayim. Functionally, we don't make a brocha. So the only time that we make a brocha is on the bedikah. And it's interesting. There we make the brocha beer chametz, not a bedikah's chametz. So it would come out that there's really no necessity of having the pieces. So this guy, because I'm... All I have to do is be sure that there's no chametz in my rishus, and that's it. So good. So maybe I can make it on the beer, maybe I can't. So okay, we make it on the bedika too. Toiv. So maybe that's the reason we put the pieces out. It's because otherwise we're not going to be able to make a brocha. And maybe we won't have the mitzvah at all. I won't have a mitzvah bedikas chametz. So this way, if I put out the pieces of bread, so it's a slight kilkel in the chazok. I know the 10 pieces. So if I go and find all the 10 pieces, so I restore the chazokah now. I know that's the only chometz that's here. I found it. But I'm a chliyev to go find it and get it out. So Mamela would come out that the way that we conduct the cleaning for Pesach Bizmaneinu, so it ought to come out that there's no din of bedikas chometz altogether. So we need to put out the 10 pieces so that we should have a mitzvah bedika and be able to make a broch on both. Now,
Rabbi Eliezer's chazaka, that would work even if you have 5-6 year old kids in the house.
Oh no! Listen, if you have little kids around, so I told someone, this is now the shaila of the last couple of days. I'm getting not at Purim past, you know. So I tell people it's very simple. If you have little kids, right? In the shas we have places mokum shemachnisim bechometz, mokum shein machnisim bechometz. When you have kids, every place is a chazoka that it has chametz. So, when you can't imagine where the chametz is when you have little kids. So, once you start cleaning for Pesach, though, you should give them Pesach dikas snacks to go around the house, and they shouldn't have chametz to go around the house. So, you have to be careful. Watch, you know. You have to monitor what they do and make sure if they have chametz, they eat it only at the table, and that's it. Don't let them go anywhere else. But it's a very daunting challenge when you have little kids for that reason.
Halacha lemaaseh, if you have a clean house that you're careful in and you don't have 10 pieces, you should not make a bracha?
In a clean house.
You know that it was clean. You cleaned it and you've been. Yeah, you have
a chazak. If you wouldn't put out the 10 pieces, l'chari, you shouldn't make a bracha according to Rabbi Yosef. That's what comes out from what he writes there. So putting out the 10 pieces would be midina.
Before Rabbi Yosef, or before people saw this in Rabbi Yosef Sefer,
It's a problem. It's, you know, it's hard to say without this that we could do bedikas chametz properly. Just how many hours would it take to go through every part of your house? Just with all the possessions that there are and to move them away and look through them. It's just, it would seem, you know, daunting.
Well, for the 10 pieces is just a minhag, right? To make a bracha, you one piece. You know, one piece
would also suffice, yeah? Ein hachanami. So,
but those pieces are for the purpose of bedikah or for beer?
Well, for beer, you wouldn't have to put them out. Just put them in a bag and burn them, right?
It's for the purpose of beer.
It's for the purpose of bedikah, the chayr.
What bedikah are you doing? It's right.
You don't have to put it in an obvious place. Put it where it's not so obvious. You have to look for it. You know, don't put it where you know where it is. Have you somebody in your house, an adult, that keeps cheshbon where they put it, so you don't wind up with a missing piece of chametz. And then, you know, you look for it.
Suppose you say you could do that, right? If you don't have something to hide, you could do it yourself and then get it, right?
Yeah, I guess.
But then it's
okay, so hanami. So according to Rabbi Yosef, according to the cleaning that we're doing now, it wouldn't be chal on anything. So you'd have a problem. You'd have a problem, yeah. So at least you got to get your neighbor to come at least hide one piece for you. So, the bedikas chametz is not such an easy process. Not such an easy process. I wanted to add one more thing. I'm gone.
The bracha that we make for bedikah or beer, is that like tilt towards Rashi's pshat, bedikas v'mal yirah?
No, according to Tosfos, it's even with the Rabbanon you have to get rid of the chametz. So it doesn't tell me if it's the rice or the Rabbanon, the bracha. Could be it's with the Rabbanon that you mechuyev in beer. Now, part of the process is since we're concerned shalayova la'ochlo that we might come to eat chametz, even if we don't own chametz, we can't have it in our rishus. So the chametz that I sold, if I have a goy's chametz, I can't store the goy's chametz in my house. It's not mine. I'm not even by your own. You're right. You're not even by your own, but maybe you'll eat it. So there are two dinim which follow from that. Number one is when we sell the chametz, we also sell the parts of the house in which the chametz is found. So at the end of the day, the rishus and the chametz both belong to the non-Jew. That's number one. But that still doesn't suffice, what you say. Why doesn't it suffice? Maybe I'll come to eat it. Good, it's the guy's chametz, but it's around, lying around my house. I'll come to eat it. So for that, there's a din that we have to make some barrier between ourselves and the chametz. There has to be a barrier between ourselves and the chametz. Otherwise, we may inadvertently come to access the chametz and eat it on Pesach. So that's why we have to put the chametz basically, you know, in a locked closet or something of that nature, so that we don't have access to the chametz. Put it off with some semi-form of mechitza, something in between, which is a barrier between ourselves and the chametz. That's a necessary part of bedikas chametz. Because at the end of the day, the bedikah is supposed to put us in a state where I'm not likely to violate achilas chametz on Pesach. So Chazal mandated that the chametz has to have some barrier between myself and the chametz. So b'di eved, you can open it, take something out, and close it, I believe. You know, but it's not. I don't think we think that a person, in one second that he opens it, is suddenly going to forget that it's Pesach. I just opened it. Why did I open it? Because it's Pesach. But if it's open the entire time, we are afraid that we may forget that it's Pesach and access it. Now, one other thing, we're not fundamentalists. Meaning to say, we don't take a dictionary in the Tanakh and translate the words and say that's what the Torah means. Ultimately, the ultimate determination of what the Torah means is what the Torah Shabbat Peh interprets. The Torah Shabbat Peh tells us that Bayuro Bayimotze does not mean seeing chametz on Pesach. It means owning chametz on Pesach. So, for example, I'm not telling you should do this, but suppose you took a challah, two challahs, you put them in the china closet, you close them up in something that will prevent, you got all the air out so they won't mold, and you leave them there in the china closet for the day you have to pay, for the Shabbos you have to pay. And the whole yontif, you could see it. There's glass, you see the chametz. It's not a violation. There's no isur to see chametz. There's an isur to own chametz. Now, one thing we do have to do, which is a little bit parallel to this, is that the utensils, the kalim that we have, pots, pans, etc., which are not for Pesach use, have to be put someplace with some hecker that we shouldn't come to use them on Pesach. Because I'm still remembering once, erev, the last days of Pesach, at a shiloh. Someone had owned two blenders, two food processors, exactly the same, one for Pesach, one for the whole year. And whatever the reason, somehow on Erev Yontif, they didn't get the chametz to come on, all packed away somewhere out of sight. And it was brought up, it was cleaned, it was perfectly clean, it hadn't been used in a week, or 2 weeks. But they brought it up by mistake, and they made all the food for the last 2 days Yontif with this food processor. And right before Yontif, they realized. So they called me up. They came to me. What's the din? So I went through all the things they made with the food processor, and there was nothing which was a dover harif there, nothing that was hot there. There were no onions in there, nothing hot. So it was kosher. It was kosher. If they processed one onion in there and put it into the food, all the food that had an onion processed in there would have been chametzik. Not only wouldn't they have been able to eat it, they would have had to throw it out too. So when Chazal tell us that we should put the chametz to kekelim in a place where they clearly, you know, there's a hecker, we cover them with something, we box them, we bag them, whatever, but something that before we get a hold of the kelim, we'll realize these are the chametz to kekelim, it's a very, very wise approach. It's a way to make sure that we don't inadvertently use the chametz tikka kelim on Pesach. Good evening, Rabbi Yisrael.
As long as it's in Roy Lachir Askelon, you could have a chasna chasna.